Our culture, as much as we talk about Australia being a fairly egalitarian sort of place, you know, a place of the fair go, and you know, it's an even playing field and everyone has opportunities, it's the same opportunities that everyone else has, there are kind of certain social realities that would sort of speak against that. And even the ways that we live sometimes speaks against that. You know, the big fences we put up, you know, security gates and multiple locks on doors and entry locks and cards and all that sort of thing. Kind of mindful of all that kind of attitude of Australians on this Social Justice Sunday, where the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference have particularly drawn our attention to those millennial goals that about 189 nations signed up to at the beginning of the new millennium, to eradicate poverty by the year 2015. So we've got 2 years to eradicate poverty in the world. By the year 2015, they think that over 1.6 billion people will live on $1.25 a day. Could you live on $1.25 a day? Don't you know? 500 million women will die in childbirth. Preventable deaths. Over 8 million children or more will die from malnutrition and preventable diseases. No longer is the reality of poverty in our world and Lazarus at our gate something over there, something overseas, even though many of us now are from overseas and part of this congregation. And what a wonderful thing that is. But social media makes Lazarus even more vividly at our door. And the danger in all of that is that we can become comfortably numb. Probably showing my age here a bit, but that was actually a term used in one of the songs. A song from I knew it was. Comfortably numb. And we become immune to the tragedies and to the poverty and to the destruction in the world around us. Some of it's kind of a protection, almost. We can feel displaced and dispersed. But again, you've got to be careful that we don't sort of start to put up gates and barriers and walls in our hearts, particularly around here, particularly in our local circumstances, particularly in our families, our communities, in this community. In this community of where we live. I had an experience of this when I first went to Darwin. We had a bit of an open door policy, and we didn't lock the doors at night. And a lot of the people who lived in the Longgrass Hotel would come to our place at various times if the Longgrass Hotel was a bit full or a bit uncomfortable. You ever heard of the Longgrass Hotel? Of course you have. Longgrass Hotel in Darwin, things are pretty warm at night. And in the dry season, where it's kind of fairly warm, you get this long grass. And it's really nice to lay in. So it's quite good. It's quite comfortable to lay in. But you get a bit hungry if you don't have some food. So you've got a list of people you go to. And so one night, I was not quite laying on my divan or sprawling on my bed, but just sweating in the heat. And I thought I was in a deep sleep, and then I'm sure I heard somewhere in the dream, somewhere as I was dreaming, this voice going, "Baba!" It's a voice of God, I'm sure. "Baba! Baba, get up!" I thought, oh, it's one of those calls of sound. And I woke up, and there was a man standing in my bed. bed with a lighter under his chin, total darkness, and I could see his teeth, and he's saying, "Father, get up and cook me some food." And I said, "Get out of my room, get out of the house, I'm cooking you nothing." He said, "All right, I'll go and talk to one of the other brothers." I said, "He will kill you." Sure enough, he went into the next room, and I heard this, it wasn't a Christian ring, it was quite explicit, it was colourful. Anyway, from that point on, we decided it might be a good idea to lock a couple of doors. So, but what began, I think, might have happened in our hearts too, is beginning to get afraid. And those doors start to be locked in our hearts. To the foreigner, and to the stranger, and to the person who might be a little different to me and to what I'm used to. You know, our perspective of how we see eternity affects how we live our lives, and particularly how we relate to others and how we use our resources in relation to others. How we view eternity affects how we relate to others and how we use our resources in relation to others. You could say the rich man in the gospel tonight doesn't say he was a wicked rich man, doesn't say he was nasty. In fact, he was, he cared for his family. He was locked behind his gate. And perhaps his view of eternity was, you know, won't that be a wonderful place where I can have as much as I want to food, much food and drink as I like, and everyone will continue to be my servant of me and my family. Me and mine. And so he starts to become wide in his heart that way, that the world exists and everyone else exists for me and my family. And fails to see that he's actually locking himself behind his gate. He's not locking people out, he's locked in. And in the afterlife, after his death, that same attitude prevails, doesn't it? Jesus tells the story how in his lifetime, Lazarus laying at the gate, perhaps he's disabled because he can't move and he can't fight off the dogs that come to lick his sores. And he's hoping, perhaps, that he'll receive the scraps from the rich man's table, because in the time, in the culture, quite often the rich and their guests, as they finished their meal or as they started the next course, they'd wipe their hands on bread. Pita bread it was. And they'd wipe their hands on the bread and toss it in a pan or on the floor. And so the house dogs would come and get a feed. That were the scraps that Lazarus was hoping he might get, but nothing. So he lay on the gate, outside the gate. We don't know that Lazarus doesn't seem to be full of contentment or bitterness or hatred, but he lay in hope. And the providence would be revealed through the rich man. He's taken up, we're told, into the bosom of Abraham. The angels carry him. We actually have that, you know, in the liturgy of the funerals, you know, don't we? You know, carried into Jerusalem, carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, you know, when you've been prayed over, when you've been laid out, you know, you're praying for the person to be carried into the bosom of Abraham. And we're told that the rich man was buried, and that when he's in torment, see how he's wired, he still says, he's still giving orders. He's still in control. He's still saying, "Send Lazarus." Lazarus is comforted in the bosom of Abraham. And he's still saying, "Send Lazarus to serve me." And then later on, he'll say, "Send Lazarus to my brothers so that they won't come here." He's still concerned about his family. He's still concerned about me and mine. His view of eternity. hasn't changed. We need, brothers and sisters, a seismic shift, an earthquake in our Western culture to break the power of materialism that is so deeply rooted into our hearts. Doesn't matter whether you're lay or religious. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter where you come from, the roots of materialism go deep into the human heart. And we need a seismic shift. We need an earthquake of grace. We need a tsunami of grace to actually recognize that eternity is outside the gate in which I am locked in. That there's eternity. Lazarus is eternity. He's the one that will welcome me into eternity. The other day, we were down at the prison, down here in the McConaughey Centre. And there was one of the prison chaplains there, the Anglican chaplains, and we were introducing ourselves. And he said something like, saying to a couple of the people there, the inmates there, saying, we're hoping that, when we come to heaven, God might say, to us, well, when I was in prison, did you visit me? And, hopefully you'll be able to say, yeah, I was down at the McConaughey Centre, Lord, and I did visit you. And I was thinking, no, probably won't be exactly like that. The Lord will probably say to those who are in the McConaughey Centre, do you recognise him? Did he come down much? Oh, I went once, a couple of times a year, Lord, I don't recognise him, Lord, never saw him. There's this whole kind of sense that the poor, in some senses, might be the ones to welcome us into the kingdom. We need a seismic shift, brothers and sisters. I don't care who you are. We need a seismic shift in religious life, in the church, in lay life, single or married, young or old. We need a huge shift. We need a tsunami of grace to be able to see, Christ in the poor. Not as my ministry to the poor. That's not what Paul says in Romans, make your love genuine. That's not what Jesus says, I no longer call you servants but friends. How many of us have friends? Genuine friends that we welcome to the table. That we spend our precious time with. Those who are broken and poor and in need. How many of them are welcome in our homes? We need a seismic shift. We need to be able to see Christ in the poor. And not to be formed and shaped by the world around us that locks us behind gates so that we can no longer see the inherent dignity and value of those who are the stranger and the foreigner and those who come to our shores on boats or planes. We have so much. Let's pray tonight as we come to receive the Eucharist, that this word that we're receiving now would stir within us. For most of us, Lazarus is at our door. I was talking to a grandmother recently, and she took on, she'd raised her own four children, and things were so chaotic in some of her grandchildren's life and her daughter's life that she took on three of those grandchildren. She doesn't have much. She's renting a house. And then a few months later, she took on two more grandchildren. People would say, you're mad. You're in no position to do it. You've got your own issue. You can't do this. And she said to me, Father Steve, I don't want any of my grandkids to go through what I did. I don't want them to end up in an institution after an institution and our family to be split. I want them to be part of us. I want them to experience their grandmother and maybe their mother will be healed in time. So they are at our door, you know, in our very families. I think she had something of that seismic earthquake tsunami of grace. It's not easy. Incredibly difficult. But it was a grace moment perhaps for her and certainly for those children. So I want to invite you tonight to pray for that grace. To break out of this culture that is trapping us, that holds us in bondage, that holds us behind the gate, and we can't reach out and really make friends and invite the poor into our lives. Our salvation depends on brothers and sisters. I remember, and I'll finish with this, a brother saying to me, one of our brothers in Manila, saying where the rich and poor often live side by side, literally. You know, you walk through a poor squatter area, then you're in a rich housing estate, then you're in a poor squatter area, and they all come to mass together. But then they'll develop their own mass centres for the rich and then the poor. And he said to me, you know, I've come to realise that unless the rich, and unless we are the motivators and energise the rich to serve the poor, their salvation depends upon. So that who knows, as we get to the kingdom of God, they're the ones that vouch and say, yes, she was the one. I know her. She was a real friend. He was the one. They anticipated my needs even before I asked. You know, it's easy to feel guilty. It's easy to feel guilty about this reading tonight. That's not what it's about, people. It's not about guilt. It's about a grace. About the grace that flows from the heart of Jesus, who emptied himself. Take it from him. Take it from his model of life. That he who was rich, full of divinity, emptied himself and became poor so that we might become rich. Take him as your model. Ask him for that earthquake, that seismic grace. For that tsunami of grace to flood our hearts, our souls, our minds tonight. Not just me or you, but us, the church. Pope Francis perhaps is in that way. And maybe we have to catch that. We have to place ourselves under that grace. I invite you tonight to open yourself to that grace. To be poor in the poverty of Jesus, so that we might be rich in his mercy and resurrection.